talking about our identity in Christ, our identity as disciples of Jesus, been talking about last few weeks, and I found these back here today. I don't know why somebody left them here for some reason. If it gets a little dicey this morning, you don't want to listen to me, here's some earmuffs. You could just, not you. I'll leave them, I better set them over here. You got to get through me to get them. I don't know. It says they're for ladies. Maybe I've got it wrong. There you go. I don't know why somebody left those here. Hint, hint. So I want to thank everybody. You guys know I had a birthday this week, and one of the best birthday presents, though, I got to tell you, thank you. I'm not going to say it. I'm being sarcastic, so I'm joking about this, but it's been a stressful week for us. It's actually only been a week since I've seen you last here on a Sunday morning. I know I do the math sometimes, it works, but it's really only been a week. It seems like it's been about a month in our week's time. It seems like when things are stressful, it doesn't seem like it's like a day seems like a week, and an hour seems like a day, and a week seems like a month. That's kind of week we've had, and so it was a little tough going at the start, and I had this persistent headache, and so somebody said, hey, maybe your blood pressure's high, so I said, all right, I'll get it checked, and so we go into the doctor, and sure enough, they say, yeah, it's a little high. And the doctor and I are talking. He's chatting about how you can lower it down. And this is the first time ever I've had this diagnosis. So I said, well, I'll do the things. He didn't want to put me on any medication yet. So anyway, this is going on, and the doctor comes in and goes, oh, yeah, by the way, he leaves the room, and then he comes back in, and he goes, oh, yeah, happy birthday, and this is a real crappy present, and he hands me a Fit Kit. Thank you. There's only a few of you that know what that even is. It was funnier in my mind when I was thinking about it. I laughed my head off for like at least 5 minutes in the doctor's office, and I said that was probably the worst and best birthday present I've ever gotten. Anyway, I'm talking about us being identified as Jesus identifies us as using metaphors or illustrations, analogies to refer to us as his disciples. You guys, we've talked about us being sheep. We all know that we're not literal sheep, right? Okay, and we all know that we're not literal dirt, even though he refers to us as being a ground, a dirt, And there's so many things he refers to us as being a building. We're not a literal building. So he's using these metaphors and illustrations to help us understand who we are in Christ and our purpose here on this earth and in this life. I want to talk next week about us being, I like being trees or being a tree or a... Sometimes he refers to us as a bush, a tree, something that grows and produces something. What are you producing? Fruit or thorns? That's a good discussion, right? I guess on any given day it could be either or. But this week I want to talk about us being the body. The body. He refers to us as the body of Christ. And that's interesting to me because it's so... deep in that he's including himself in this illustration. Jesus includes himself because he says, you are the body of Christ, many times in Scripture. In fact, in our modern teaching of theology, the body of Christ is used to collectively describe believers in Christ, disciples of Christ. And I want you to understand that collectively to describe all believers in Christ are referred to as the body of Christ, right? Hello? That hasn't always been the case. The Catholic Church, actually, their theology describes the body of Christ as those who are only a part of the Catholic Church. So in other words, if you are a part of the Catholic Church, then you're considered to be part of the body of Christ. But if you're not, then you're not. So basically, anybody that's not a part of this church is not a part of the body of Christ in the Catholic Church's sense. Does that make sense? So you see that where we get some a little confusion mixed up in thinking that that the church is an organization or a place or a building or a place that I must be a member of. And that's not biblically accurate, because biblically accurate says you as a disciple of Jesus, you as a follower of Christ, are a part of the body of Christ. And that's awesome, because I think that's, you get this, and we get this when we run across somebody. If you happen to run across another believer that doesn't go to your church, right? Does that happen to anybody? Yeah, it should. I hope so. That was a rhetorical question. It does happen to us where we bump in, we talk, we have conversations. It happens to me all the time. And it could just be because of my position, or but it happens a lot. And there's this instant connection to that person, that individual, as a body member of the body of Christ. And I love it, because we could have discussions. We could talk about just our walk with God and our purpose here, and how it's different, and how you're different and I'm different. And we have this different identity as a body part doing the work of God in the kingdom of God. You tracking with me for a minute? Okay, because I'm going to go somewhere that's kind of interesting this morning. You might want the earmuffs a little bit later, because I do get a little bit kind of in my face, which would be also in your face in regards to our understanding of what the body of Christ is. There's a couple of passages, verses in the Bible. Romans 12, 5 describes this. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27 is an in-depth description of the body of Christ. So I'm encouraging you to jot those down and read them, because they're really good. But that's not what we're going to talk about, those passages today. Read them on your own time. We're going to talk about a couple of different passages that I'm going to take it from a different spin, if you will, on our purpose as the body of Christ. That's going to be our intent this morning, what I want to go with, what I feel the Lord wanting us to go with this morning. You still with me? All right, good. I don't apologize for asking that. I just really just want to ask that, because I just in case there happens to be somebody that just kind of dozes down a little bit and kind of just that, I don't want you to get with me again. Yeah. I know for the majority of you, like, you stay with me the whole time. Right, Kevin? Where'd you go? You moved. Funny, Kevin and I, he helped me yesterday, and we had a conversation about what truth is, and he started sharing with me about somebody that he's dealing with that's stealing stuff, and I explained to him, you know, in our modern day world, I said, Kevin, all you have to do is redefine what stealing is, and then it's no longer stealing. You could actually just redefine what stealing is, and then you could steal without it be stealing. And he's like, wow, I never thought of that. I should have been doing this a long time ago. I was being sarcastic and facetious with him, but we live in a world where this is happening all around us. Let's just redefine what actually is true. You could call it common core math, or you can call it whatever you wanted to call it, but if we redefine it, then it simply is not it, right? Wrong. But it still is it. 2 + 2 is still 4. Even if you get around it the hard way, it still comes out to be 4. Hey, anyway, somewhere it made sense in my mind. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. How about that? So I'm going to read this passage in Scripture, and it's actually the entire chapter. And I know this is not very popular to do as a part of a message to read an entire chapter of the Bible. But to me, I feel like, and I sense this, and that the Word of God is still the most powerful and effective words that anybody can speak or say, or that can be conveyed, is in the Word of God. So even though, yes, a preacher's words can help us understand, but it's the Word of God that actually gives us insight and highlights what God actually refers to us as. So in Ephesians chapter 3, it says this. I'm going to start off, for this reason, and this is Paul writing, and he's writing to the Ephesians, but when he says that, for this reason, what is that reason that he's referring to? Well, you got to jump back to chapter 2, find out what he's actually referring to, this reason of. And what he's simply referring to is that we are being built up together in Christ. That we are being built up together in Christ. And this is what he's referring to there is the distinction between Jew and Gentile, and now the calling on his life to share the gospel, preach the gospels, because the Gentiles now are included in. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's good news. In receiving the grace of God through Jesus. So he says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery, now listen to this, because he's baiting them. The mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. Uh-oh, what's this mystery? Boy, you got you on your toes now, huh? Which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations. So beforehand, this wasn't known. But as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, which is what? Good news. Of this good news, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power to me, though I am very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, his body, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Real quick, I'm going to stop there and ask, what's the purpose of the church or the body of Christ? He gave it to us in there, even though Paul writes, and when he writes, you got to really pay close attention sometimes. But what is the purpose of the church according to Paul right here in this passage? Okay, you're close and you're following along. You're listening to that, what he was saying there. Is it not very simply put, as Paul put it here, that the purpose is to make him known? To make him known. To make God known. Hello? That's the purpose. That's our identity. That's what we are called to do, to make God known. That's what the church is supposed to be doing and should be doing, and it should be all about doing from the start to the finish. From the onset of it, when Jesus ascended and he said, now you guys go and do it. Here's the Holy Spirit as your helper, your helpmate, your power, everything he's given you in the Holy Spirit. Go and do it. Make me known. Until I come back, make me known. Until I return, make me known. Amen? That's our purpose, is to make him known. So verse 13, I'm going to go on and we'll talk about it some more. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I don't know about you, but I love that. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Where is that floating around? Huh? In your spirit. In your spirit, in your soul, goes from your brain. It needs to go into your brain. Hello? Your brain is important. Your mind matters. Your mind matters. Can I get a amen? What you think actually matters. But to know beyond your knower, that's what really matters. Because that's where the grounding takes place, the rooting takes place. To knowing the height, the depth of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, I don't know about you. I don't want just part of God, I guess. I feel like there's, at so many times in our day and in our life, whether your week is stressful, whether your day is going grand and glorious, you still need, and I still need, all the fullness of God. We need all the fullness of God. Let me finish off this passage. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And according to the passages that we didn't read in 1 Corinthians, we are all many members, but one body. Jesus is the head, we are the body parts. But I don't know if we understand, and maybe I'm hoping that we get it and we understand it and we receive it as a truth, that understanding and receiving the very truth that I am a part of the body, I'm a body member of Christ. What is the purpose, though, is something that I need to really also get and understand. Because if the purpose is to make him known, then doesn't that do something that is far-reaching, that goes beyond even just our group, you know, our membership, our gathering together of us together as loving body members. We love each other, right? We care for each other. We actually even at times like each other, right? And that's good. And we very much should. We should care for each other. We should love each other. And we should encourage one another. And we should help each other. That needs to be a big part of the body of Christ. But that's not our main purpose. It's not just to love on each other. What did you say, Steve, the other day? Us four and no more? Where did he go? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking over there with your wife. Yeah, I was asked to be a part of I'm sure I could share it, but my old boss, a friend of mine, I consider him to be a close friend of mine, somebody that he would call me, and he does call me in times of need when he's hurting and things are going in his life, and I call him when I need help with things, and he said, "Hey, I need your help. I have to go before a committee to stand before them and basically answer questions about my new business adventure. And I said, oh, what is it? And he goes, oh, I'm building the new hotel that's in town. And I said, oh, that's awesome. And I said, yeah, but nobody wants it in that neighborhood, so they're coming against me to try to stop me from doing it. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's, what do you need me to do? So I don't know, just stand up and say something good about me if you can. So I'm like, okay, I'll show up. So I showed up, and it was a little bit different than he thought it was going to be. In fact, right before it started, I asked him, it's like, so am I going to get a chance to share? And he says, yeah. And then his liaison says, no, there's not going to be any sort of public. We're just giving information. And he's like, oh, okay. So but what is happening is in this community of Lincoln, there's a community within the community that is the us for and no more philosophy. It's basically, we are here, we paid most amount of money for our homes in Lincoln, we feel, and we don't want anything coming in that we don't want and we don't like. And we want to keep it out and push it out, and we don't want to have anything to do with it. And it's ridiculous, but it's like this, it's a mentality that is in I'm going to share you, tell you though, I want to highlight something. It is a mentality that if you receive, it almost seems like you are being community oriented. It almost seems like you're being caring, but what you're doing is you're being so inward focused of, it's all about me and my little hub of people that I care about, and everybody else that wants to infect that or influence that, we say, heck no, stay out, get away. Do you understand what I'm saying there? That's unhealthy. It's an unhealthy balance. You need to care for your own. Amen. Care for your body. Care for your own. Amen. But if that's the sole purpose, you miss the bigger purpose in life, I think. Yep. I do believe this because I like the Bible. The Bible tells me that. Right? So anyway, with all that being said, I feel like at times the church, and this is, I feel like the Holy Spirit's really, this is the kind of the highlight of the message, wanting us to understand this. And believe me, I am always trying to balance this out in my own self, because I got me to deal with too. Does that make sense? In other words, there's my own issues in my own heart and mind that I got to deal with in this issue. Sometimes I think that the body of Christ, the church, gets into a mode or a mentality that it's us that we got to take care of most. We do, but that's got to be balanced. I don't believe that our purpose is for me to just sit here and massage myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not my purpose as a, let's just say, I'm the body of Christ. This one body. This is it. What's the purpose of this body? Just to stay alive? To be healthy? Do you understand what I'm saying? Being healthy is not just being recluse and closing off within me and protecting me and putting a bubble around me. That's not healthy. That's unhealthy. That's actually, you will actually, because for one, it's unrealistic. It's not possible. And I get it. I think that there's times that we need to massage ourselves. That's the only thing I can think of doing. Okay? So track with me. I try to. Oh, that feels nice. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you, hands, for massaging the eyes. And thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And we miss the purpose is... The purpose of the body of Christ is to make him known to all of God's creation. To all of God's creation. Do you understand where I'm tracking with this? And I believe that if we don't get that, we'll get so focused on just what's good for me and what's in it for me. And I come and we do it. We do it. And I want to encourage you here at the Salt Mine. You at the Salt Mine, you folks, you beautiful people, you get it more than anybody I know. And I love that about you. You really do. So I'm saying that as encouragement. We get it more than anybody I know. That our purpose isn't just to come and get. Right? We come to give. We come to help. We come to be a part of, to share, to love on each other, to help each other. And it's not, that's why our Sunday morning isn't the highlight of this ministry. It's not the highlight. What this ministry is about the all week long services that are all throughout, whether it's feeding people, helping people at the thrift shop, helping people with stuff that they need for their homes, and providing a service there. And then that actually provides the resources for us to give out thousands of pounds of food every week. It's awesome. It's awesome. Please, if you have an experience, like just witness it. You know, Suzanne, if somebody could come in and just even... Is she in the room? Oh, hi, Suzanne. If somebody can just come in and just witness and just watch what we do on a Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Wednesday, Tuesday, all week. It's amazing. It blows my mind. It actually, like, wow, this is happening here. Right? Does anybody see it in action? Yeah, okay, if you didn't raise your hand, just get here and give it, just come on, just one Saturday, just get here and just try to. It only take about an hour to see it, and you'll be blown away. I encourage you, because it's awesome. So that's what we're called to do, is to make him known, right? As the body of Christ. You guys with me, right? Okay, if you need to put earmuffs on, this would be a good time. Because now I'm going to take you to another level in understanding that. And it happened on, for me to, it clicked, like, you know, there was a revelation that happened on Tuesday night when Blake was teaching and we were talking about this passage of Scripture. He was going a different direction, or he was giving us all the ins and outs of this passage in Mark chapter 6, and this is in the feeding of the 5,000. But the Lord really showed me something that I hadn't seen so clearly before as I had seen at this time. So I'm going to share it, since there's only a few of you that were here on Tuesday night that are here today. That was just meant to say this is what it is. Mark chapter 6, listen to this. I'll highlight some things in here as I read this. Mark chapter 6, starting verse 30. Says, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. The context of this, though, you need to also understand, is this is immediately after Jesus had just gotten news that his cousin was beheaded. John the Baptist was just beheaded, and Jesus had just gotten news of this, and this was after he had sent the 12 out to go two by two with nothing, and he said, go out and heal people, preach the good news, cast out demons, and do the work of the kingdom in my name, and I'm giving you power and authority to do all of this. You don't need to take anything with you, just go. And they come back and they tell him all this good news, but then this is, like I said, right before this, Jesus just got the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, was beheaded. Kind of stressful, huh? That'd be stressful, wouldn't it? That'd be a stressful week. So Jesus says this, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and let's rest for a while. Basically, that's what he's saying. Let's get away and rest. We need some rest, guys. That's good. We need to take time to rest. Lowers the blood pressure, I think. I'm going to give it a try. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to give it a try. If anybody has any ideas or suggestions, please let me know how you rest. I'll work on it. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and let's rest for a while. For many were coming and going and they had no leisure even to eat. They didn't even get time to even stop and eat. I understand that a lot. So many days they just like, oh, I forgot to eat today. I didn't get any time. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. But here's what happens. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Can you picture this? Can you picture this, what's happening? Right? They're in the sea, they're on the lake, and they're traveling on boat to just try to get away. They're trying to get to a nice little cove, if you will, a place, a desolate place, a restful place, where there's no people. There's nothing there. There's no civilization. They were just trying to get away, a place where they could get by themselves and rest and just reinvigorate themselves. And people saw them in the boat and said, "Oh, that's Jesus. That's Jesus." And pretty soon, before they knew it, it says all the towns were from the area. They followed. They tracked them down, and they beat them to their landing spot. Before they could even get there, they were there. Well, I'll read it. That's actually what it says. They ran there on foot from the towns, and they got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he, Jesus, had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Do you see how Jesus saw these people desperate and in need and wanting answers, wanting help, wanting healing, wanting to be near Jesus? And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy so they can buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread," which is about 200 days' wages. A denarii is about a day's wages was a denarii a day. And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And I love this, and this is what Blake was talking about. Jesus doesn't even answer their question. He just says, "What do you have? Let's do this. Let's deal with it. Go and see." And when they had found out, they had found 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were about 5,000 men, which is really about 5,000 families. So here's something I'm going to highlight this morning. And I want us to, I believe we need to understand this. There's so many things that is happening there. But I think the main thing that I've seen and I felt like the Lord wanting us to see is the distinction between Jesus looking at the people that were in need and having compassion on them, and the distinction, the difference between how he treated his disciples, how he reacted to his disciples, what he put on them after being tired, wore out, spent, how he actually treated them. I want us to understand this because I think this is really clear for us right now. Did you see the difference? Did anybody notice it? Do I need to reread it again? I'll reread the part. Remember, he saw the multitudes and had compassion on them as sheep without shepherds. He looked at the disciples when the disciples were tired and said, "Jesus, just send them away. That would be easy. In fact, Jesus, you know what? It's all their fault that they're this way, that this happened. You know, what a foolish thing for these people to not be concerned about their own selves, about what they need to eat. Why is it on us? Why is it our responsibility to see that they have something to eat? Why is that? You just send them away. That's all you got to do, Jesus. Just tell them to go away. They can handle it. That's too much for us to handle anyway. Do you really expect us to just take all of our earnings? For nearly a year, 200 days, that's about a year's worth of work, right? Do you want us to take that and just and buy these people food? Is that what you want us to do? Jesus, just send them away. And he does that. It's almost as though he had no compassion on them. Did you hear that? Maybe need earmuffs? It's almost as though Jesus really didn't have any sort of compassion on what they were going through. Hello? I don't like hearing this either, because I personally want Jesus to care about every little issue of my life. Does he? Amen, he does. Come on. Yes, he does. Here's the point. What he puts on and expects of you as followers of him, disciples of Christ, disciples of Jesus, is different than what he puts on those that don't know him yet. Do you understand that? Do we receive that? Do we have to know this? Because if we don't, we'll get caught up in saying, I just need a massage, Jesus. And that's okay. We do need time to just rest. Even he highlighted and pointed out, we need to get some time to rest here. But sometimes what we would like to plan out to do, our time of rest, gets interrupted. Hello? Why do we carry these stupid things around? So people can interrupt us. There's a point where I almost said, you know what? That's rude for you to call me without asking permission. I almost texted that to somebody. And then I realized, wait, no. He convicted me, said, come on, Eric, really? Well, I don't half the time, because I can't. The point is, in all the details of that, it's the attitude of my heart and the spirit of what Jesus is actually wanting to drive this point home to us as a body of Christ, as disciples of Jesus. What he puts on us and the expectation that he puts on us as disciples of Jesus is a higher calling, a higher expectation to do the things that he calls us to do, even when we're uncomfortable, even when it's difficult, even when we feel like it's not something that we are responsible for. That's exactly what happened here with the disciples. They did not feel like it was their responsibility to take care of these people that put themselves in the position where they were. Do we see that? Is anybody in agreement with me? Am I just talking to myself? But I want us to understand this, because that's what the body of Christ is looking like, and it should look like. Yes, we need to. We absolutely have to encourage one another and help one another and massage one another like this. This would be the best way, yeah. But that's not our purpose. It's not just to care for one another. It's to make him known to those that don't know him. And yes, I will say this, and I need to say this, is as we care for one another, that too is a testimony to those that don't know him. Is a group of people that actually have the blood of Jesus flowing through them to actually care for one another. Hello? And that too is making him known. Because if we simply are becoming a us four and no more group, which we are not here at the Salt Mine, but if we become that, what have we become but a club? The Pharisees, that's a good call, Monty, is we become a club that is exclusive to only those that think like me and are like me. And he's calling us to be so much more than that, is he not? He not only calls us to be so much more than that, he actually expects us to be more than that. Almost to where he doesn't regard the issues that I might be dealing with. In a way that he knows us. And this is where I get a little bit, because I said before, I have to work on the balancing act of this too, because somewhere in my upbringing, somewhere, there was a, I guess you could say, a callousness that was infused within me about being tired or hurt or having an, because whenever I got hurt on the job, it was a roll of duct tape that fixed it. We had it this last week, and Trevor sliced his finger, a good little slice, and it was a good one. I got a call from, and this was a day that just, I felt stress come over me like that, because at the same time, Robin was getting a call about Glenn, and so she said, yeah, I think he needs stitches, but, you know, we could probably, it's like, can you just use duct tape? Will that work? She goes, yeah, that probably would work. It's like, okay, I'll get you some duct tape. I said, Blake, go over there and take some skin glue and duct tape or whatever, and just patch him up real quick, because that's, I don't know if having boys and one girl that wanted to be like the boys was like part of it, or me working in construction. I understand. I get it that I need to be balanced, okay? Because that's not always the situation. That's not always the case. Sometimes you need some TLC and some stitches, and you need to lay down and rest. You guys with me? Okay, you guys are like kind of. I feel like you're looking at me like you're glaring at me like, oh gosh, this guy's an a-hole. I was as a boss. I was. Sometimes it was like, yeah, if it's not killing you, you'll be all right. Did I just say all that? Yeah. Yeah. What I'm trying to get at is this: is understanding that us as a body of Christ, you are the body of Christ. We need to care for each other, but that's not our purpose, right? Our purpose is to make him known. And making him known is going to cause us to, and it's going to force us to get outside of ourselves and do things that might be a little uncomfortable, that will compel us to reach into people's lives, to love people right where they're at, even though they're so much different than us, right? That's what he's called us to do and actually expects us to do. So us being the body takes it to a deeper place than me understanding, well, what kind of body part am I? Am I a finger? Am I a toe? Am I an ear? It's like, no, don't quit trying to figure out what part you are and just do what you feel led to do to help somebody. And you'll find that that's the part of the body that you actually are. Hello? He tells us that. He said, in fact, that's where he says in 1 Corinthians. He said, if someone's called to serve, then serve with everything in you. And if someone's called to give and you feel like giving, then give with a joyful heart, everything in you. And if someone's called to teach, then learn and study to teach with everything in you. Just do the thing that God has you've put on your heart to do, and you'll find that that's the body part that you are. Hello? It's really, I think we've overcomplicated it. And let's just do the work of God in the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. And when we do that, we'll find that we're a part of doing body work, making him known. Amen? I know that I said a lot of stuff that was kind of gritty, but this is, I believe, what we're called to do as the body of Christ. And I love the fact that this is a really good church, a really good body that does that. But just as Paul said it to the Thessalonians, he said, I see you guys doing this. I see you caring for those, but do it more and more. Look for opportunities to do it more and more. Amen? Amen. I'm just going to stop there. Let's pray. Any comments? Yeah, go ahead. I hear what you're saying, Monty, to some extent. What he's saying is, does that mean to give? What he said is, to give and give a little bit more without being pushed on or being a pushover, but to give a little extra. I think so, yeah. I encourage the boys. Where's the boys at? How many are in the room? Just one? Oh, that's right. One went off to work. And one's helping. I love to teach the boys how to be Christ-like in their interactions with others. And one of the things we talked about this week was because that's what happened, is Trevor had seen a kid that he had known from grade school, like back in sixth grade. He said, "That kid owes me a dollar." I'm like, like, "Really, Trevor?" And he goes, "Yeah." It's like, "Well, how did that transpire?" And he goes, "Well, he needed a dollar, and I happened to have a dollar." And he said, "Hey, so I lent him a dollar, and he said he'd give it back to me." And that was in sixth grade, and he's never given it back. And here he's a junior in high school now, and he remembers that kid owing him a dollar. I said, "Trevor, let me teach you something. I need you to understand this." And it was beyond his comprehension, because it was like, wow, that's way too much for me to handle. I said, "When you give somebody a dollar, when you give somebody $100, and he's like, "What? $100? I said, "When you give somebody as the Lord leads you to give, as they have need, give it without expecting it back. Don't give it as a loan. Give it if you can expect it to never get it back." It's like, "Oh, I don't know if I could do that." It's like, "I'm going to tell you, you'll forget who owes you money, and it's actually kind of nice to not remember who owes you money everywhere." Huh? Especially at school. Yeah, you'll never get it back. Well, he remembers. So now you need to write that dollar off, so that every time you see that kid, you don't think of him as somebody that owes you a dollar, but as somebody that needs Jesus. Like, oh, I don't know if he could receive all of that, but it was like he needed to hear it. I don't know if that helps you, Monty. That's at least my understanding of when God calls you to give. Give. All right. Yeah. Give as the Lord leads you to give. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It has some good, nice little highlights in there about giving, about helping, about serving, about teaching, about leading as a part of the body of Christ. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us, you grow us, you compel us. You don't ever leave us alone. Your steadfast love is never ending. And I love that about you. We love that about you. We thank you that you do not give up on us. Even when we feel like giving up on you, you never let us go. We thank you, Jesus. And we ask you, bless us, you fill us to the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.